السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting the Tashahud, Ta'awuz, Tasmiyah and Surah Fatiha, Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ayyadahullah Ta'ala bin Nasir al-Aziz, says, many men and women write to me and also tell me verbally when they meet me that we are expecting a child. Kindly pray in this regard. Or they ask, what should we pray in favor of the expected child? Occasionally, it also happens that some ask, we have children, they are now moving from childhood into becoming adults. They are about to step into adulthood. We are constantly worried about their tarbiyat, i.e. upbringing. What prayers should we offer for them? How should we undertake their tarbiyat so that our children remain on the right path and remain steadfast in good deeds? By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the majority of the community think in this manner, and they are focused on how they should undertake the tarbiyat of their children, or they at least show some concern for this. This is a great blessing and favor of Allah the Almighty upon us Ahmadis, that owing to accepting the promised Messiah alayhi salam, we think in this manner. In this age, where worldly desires have engulfed everyone, we are not only concerned about the worldly well-being of our children. Rather, we also strive to care about the improvement of their faith. Allah the Almighty has also bestowed this favor upon us Muslims, provided that Muslims, while paying attention to this, also put this into practice, that at various places in the Holy Quran, supplications have also been taught for the various stages of tarbiyat that a child goes through from before the birth of the child. Likewise, the Holy Quran has also taught the methods of tarbiyat and has also drawn the attention of the parents to their responsibilities. If we offer these supplications and spend our lives in this way and pay attention to the tarbiyat of our children, then we can send forth a pious progeny. There is no doubt that the tarbiyat of children is not an easy affair, and especially in this age, where at every turn attractions created by Satan entice us in various ways every day. It therefore can be a very difficult task. However, Allah the Almighty has taught us prayers and methods for this very reason, and that is so that we can save ourselves as well as our children from the onslaughts of Satan. Nevertheless, for this to work, constant prayers, the help of Allah the Almighty, and hard work and efforts are necessary. There is a need for a continuous jihad, i.e. self-reformation. A true believer is indeed expected that being attached to Allah the Almighty, he should save himself as well as his children from the onslaughts of Satan. Instead of giving in to despair and tiring and imposing negative feelings upon oneself while being frightened, a harrowing example of negative thinking came before my eyes a few days ago in a letter which a person had written that in today's world there is a competition for wealth. Immoral actions are at their peak. Ever new forms of intoxicants and their subsequent use is being widely spread. The general moral depravity of this society is constantly increasing. And for this reason, the writer says, I should certainly marry, or I am married, but it would be better if I remained childless, or that I should not have any children. This is an extremely pessimistic thought. In other words, after accepting defeat by Satan, and after deeming him to be the source and bearer of all powers, one is taking this action as though Allah the Almighty has no power for the tarbiyat of children. Or that he should bless our efforts and our prayers, God forbid. Or that he should save us and our children from the onslaughts of Satan, regardless of how much effort we exert and prayers we offer. In other words, we will grant absolute freedom to the followers of Satan, whilst the offspring of believers will slowly and gradually cease to exist. Hence, this way of thinking is extremely dangerous and disappointing. The thought of a follower of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, cannot be as such, nor should it be. In order to partake in the revolution for which the promised Messiah alayhi salam was sent to the world by Allah the Exalted, we must use our capabilities and faculties to the utmost, and we must also infuse this spirit into our offspring. We must pray for our objectives and bring our children up in a manner so that despite all of the filth and indecencies found within the society, we will not allow Satan to be victorious. Inshallah, God willing. We must endeavor to establish the kingdom of God on this earth. Thus, there is no need to be disheartened. Rather, we must act in accordance with the prescribed path by Allah the Exalted with determination. As I mentioned, Allah the Almighty has taught us prayers in the Holy Quran in order to be blessed with virtuous offspring. At one place, He taught us a prayer through Hazrat Zakariya, and the prayer is as follows. رَبِّ هَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى, which means, My Lord, grant me from Thyself pure offspring. Surely Thou art the hearer of prayer. Allah the Almighty has Himself taught this prayer by stating, I am the one who answers supplications. Therefore, you should also say that, O Allah, as you answer prayers, also answer our prayers and bestow us with virtuous progeny. Thus, when there is a desire to have virtuous offspring, it should be accompanied with prayers. However, along with this, every parent should also adopt these virtuous thoughts and pious deeds, which are the characteristics of virtuous people and prophets. At times, mothers are attentive towards religious matters and are true worshippers, whereas fathers are not. On other occasions, fathers are attentive towards religious matters, whereas mothers are not fulfilling their obligations. In order for the progeny to be virtuous, and in order to be safeguarded from the evil influences of the time, it is necessary that prior to desiring children and prior to the birth of children, the husband and wife both should act virtuously. From among the incidents of the companions of the Promised Messiah, we find one incident in which the Promised Messiah has prayed for the progeny of a person. However, he stipulated the prayer with the concerned person developing a pure change within himself. That person was not yet an Ahmadi. He had not pledged initiation to the Promised Messiah. Nevertheless, it was perhaps a virtue of his, due to which the Promised Messiah ﷺ prayed for him. This person is Munshi Ata Muhammad Sahib, the revenue collector. He says that I was a non-Ahmadi and I was distanced from religion. A friend of his would preach Ahmadiyyat to him. However, he says that I never paid any attention. One day, he emphatically told me about this and did not leave me alone, saying that I should listen to his words and reflect on them. I said, that is fine. If this is what you are saying, then I will request you for a prayer. If it is answered, I will reflect on this. He, Munshi Sahib, says that the prayers of the Promised Messiah are also answered. Hence, request him to pray for me. Furthermore, the prayer is for the purpose that I have three wives and none of them have borne children. I married one wife after the other in order to have children. Request him to pray that I am bestowed with a son and that this son is born from my first wife. He says that he wrote this letter on my behalf. After some time, a reply was received from Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib saying that the Promised Messiah has prayed and said that you would be granted a son. However, the condition is that you repent as Zechariah repented. Munshi Sahib says that I was very irreligious in those days. I was a drunkard and corrupt. Taking bribes was a normal habit of mine. What would I know about the repentance of Zechariah? Hence, he says, that in order to find out about the repentance of Zechariah, I went to the mosque. The imam of the mosque was astonished to see me, a drunkard and a debauch, inside the mosque. Nevertheless, when I asked the question, he was unable to answer me. He then says, I then went to Maulvi Fateddin Sahib Ahmadi in another village. I asked him, upon which he said, that the repentance of Zechariah is to abstain from irreligiousness, earn lawfully, to regularly pray and fast, and to visit the mosque more frequently. He says that upon hearing this, I began to act accordingly. I refrained from alcohol, I abstained from taking bribes, and became regular in praying and fasting. He says that a period of approximately 4 or 5 months had passed, when one day my wife, i.e. the eldest wife, began to cry. When she was examined by the midwife, her statement pointed towards the fact that she may have conceived. Nevertheless, upon hearing her words, I told her that I requested Mirza Sahib for prayers. This is a sign for having a child, and there is no need to doubt it. He says that after a while, the symptoms of pregnancy started to become apparent, upon which I began to tell people that I will be blessed with a son, who will be healthy as well as beautiful. Accordingly, a son was born. He says that I pledged the initiation following that, and many other people from that area also pledged initiation. Hence, if Allah the Exalted desires for a person to have a prosperous end, it also unfolds in this manner, that the desire for children and having children becomes the means of their reform and pure change. The Promised Messiah Islam also stipulated the acceptance of his prayer with that individual making a pious change within himself. Hence, when we offer the prayer of Zechariah for our children, it is necessary for us to develop a pure change within ourselves. On the other hand, I would like to also mention the case of another person who is mentioned to the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, and that he is requesting for prayers to be blessed with a son or with a child, and that he will subsequently pledge initiation. Upon this, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam said, the essence of which is that my claim is to be the Promised Messiah. I have not claimed to have been sent to bestow people with children. His circumstances were completely different. With regards to him, as the Promised Messiah al-Islam was a prophet, he saw that his condition is such that could also be a means for him to stumble further. However, in the previous case, Allah the Exalted desired for that person to have a prosperous end, and there must have been some virtue as well. For that, the Promised Messiah a.s. prayed and gave him the glad tidings of a boy after being informed by Allah the Almighty. This should also be remembered that not everything is stipulated with one another. Becoming an Ahmadi is not conditioned with the acceptance of a prayer. At times, people also write to me that if this occurs, we will also become Ahmadis. Becoming an Ahmadi with conditions is not the definition of accepting faith. Rather, it is forcing Allah the Exalted to accept our conditions, whereas Allah the Exalted does not provide guidance according to one's conditions. It is necessary for us to follow His guidance, not for Him to follow ours. Nevertheless, as I mentioned previously, whilst we pray for our children, we must also develop a pure change within ourselves. The prayer of Zakariya is mentioned in Surah Al-Anbiya of the Holy Quran. رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْضًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْغَارِثِينَ, which means, My Lord, leave me not childless, and Thou art the best of inheritors. Since God Almighty has been called the best of inheritors, it is clear from this prayer that one should not pray to be granted offspring that can become their heirs in their worldly affairs, but instead such heirs be granted from God Almighty, who give preference to their faith over the world. So evidently, only those people can pray for this who themselves give preference to their faith over the world. If man is engulfed in worldly pursuits, then how is it possible for him to pray for pious heirs? If a woman only has children on the basis that it is a natural desire for women to bear children, or merely because it is the desire of the husband, then many a times such children become a source of trial. The desire to have children is a legitimate desire, but on top of that, one must also pray for pious heirs. Whilst expounding on the fact that we should not only wish for children to be heirs, and instead wish for such heirs who are pious, righteous and servants of the faith, the promised Messiah in one place states, "The trial surrounding children is a great trial indeed. If the children are righteous, then why should one worry?" God Almighty Himself states, "وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ," meaning that God Himself becomes the friend and protector of the righteous. Even if you leave hundreds of thousands of pounds for an individual, if they are ill-fated, they will waste it in immoral acts, return to poverty, and fall into such trials and difficulties which were destined for him. Whoever aligns his thinking with the will and desire of God Almighty, he will be content with his offspring. What is God's will and desire? That we give preference to our faith over the world. If this happens, then as the promised Messiah alayhi salam has stated, you will be content with your children, because such a person will pray for his children and endeavor to give them a good upbringing. He then states, "This can only take place when you strive for this quality and pray in this regard. Only then will God Almighty look after him. If he is dishonest, then he has no choice but that his end will be in hell, and God will not care for him in the slightest." Then in another place, whilst giving advice about children, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "Become righteous yourselves and become an example of piety and righteousness for your children, and make efforts and pray to make them God-fearing and devout. Make efforts for them in this matter, to the same extent which you make effort to gather wealth for them. The least one can do in training their children is to teach them about religion, and for them to remain firm to their faith with the same effort they make for them in worldly terms. More effort is made in worldly terms, and much less attention is given to their religious training. For this reason, some people are put into trials and they face difficulties." The Promised Messiah continues by saying, "People have a desire to have offspring, but at times I've heard wealthy people saying that there should be some children to inherit all this property. It is as if their desire for children is merely for them to inherit their wealth, lest their property falls into the hands of others." The Promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, "They do not realize that when they die, their associates and children all become indifferent. If one desires children, then it should be in order for them to be servants of the faith." God Almighty has taught us the following prayer in the Holy Quran: وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. which means, and make my seed righteous for me. I do turn to thee, and truly I am of those who submit to thee. Here the prayer is for the reformation of children. And alongside this, it has been acknowledged that the individual will become or is among those who submit to and obey the commandments of God. Hence, when praying for children, it is necessary to act upon the commandments of God and to obey Him. Only then will the prayer be accepted. Therefore, it is a great responsibility on the mothers as well as the fathers that they should pray continuously to God Almighty for the sake of the reformation of their children and for their good upbringing and establish a good example for them. If their own examples are contrary to this teaching given by God Almighty, or if they are in contradiction of the admonition which mothers and fathers give to their children, then there will remain no good intention in such a prayer. And when such action is not taking place, then the complaint that we have prayed a lot for our offspring, yet still they have gone astray and put us into trouble, is then baseless. God Almighty has then taught us a very comprehensive prayer in the Holy Quran, i.e. those people who wish to be protected from the attacks of Satan, those who desire to be the servants of the gracious God. Among their traits is that they make this application, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, meaning, our Lord, grant us of our wives and children the delight of our eyes and make us a model for the righteous. This prayer is for offspring and for our life partners. Both men and women should make this supplication. When a wife and a husband desiring righteous offspring pray, then even after the birth of their children, their work does not end. But instead, the mother and father, husband and wife, are guardians and leaders in their own spheres. This right will only be fulfilled when they themselves tread the path of righteousness, and they pray for their children and keep watch over their actions. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam has written about this verse in great detail. He stated in one place that there is another reason for marriage which has been referred to in Surah Al-Furqan of the Holy Quran. And that is, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَّلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, meaning the believers are those who say, our Lord, grant us of our wives and children the delight of our eyes, and make our wives and children righteous, and make us a model for them. Hence, here again the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has guided mothers and fathers to show a good practical example alongside this prayer, that we become a model for them. The meaning of becoming a model is that we display a practical example. Hence, with every prayer, God Almighty has repeatedly advised us in the Holy Quran that we must watch over our deeds if we wish to have righteous offspring. the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then mentions regarding the desire to have a progeny and why we should have this desire. Also, the purpose of man's creation should be kept in mind while desiring to have a progeny or at the time of their birth. Moreover, one should also assess their practices and conducts and be concerned about their own moral reformation so that one's offspring is also virtuous and pious. It should not be the case that one should only produce children simply for the reason that they become heirs to their wealth and fortunes. Thus, in what order should one offer this prayer and manner in which the prayer should be offered? The Promised Messiah alayhi salam has explained this in detail. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "One should ponder as to why one desires to have children. This should not be limited to merely a natural inclination, just as one feels thirst or hunger. In fact, when this desire to have a progeny exceeds a certain measure, then one should also pay heed towards their moral reformation. Allah the Almighty has created man so that they may worship Him, just as Allah the Almighty states, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created the jinn and the men, but that they may worship Me. However, if one does not become a mu'min, i.e. a believer, and does not devote himself to the servitude of God, and does not fulfill the true objective of his creation, and does not fulfill the due rites of worship, and instead spends his life immersed in immorality, falsehood, and in sin, then such a person's desire to have a progeny will only result in him leaving behind a successor who will commit sins. What stone has he left unturned for which he desires a progeny to continue his deeds?" The Promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, "Thus, until one does not desire for a progeny which is religious, full of piety, and serves faith while displaying complete obedience to Allah the Almighty, such a desire is completely futile. In fact, it is a form of sin. Instead of describing them as baqiyat al-salihat, i.e. enduring good works, it will be deemed more appropriate to describe them as baqiyat al-sayyiat, i.e. enduring works of evil. It will not be a virtuous and pious progeny that one leaves behind. In fact, such a person will leave behind a progeny that commits sin." The Prophet Messiah alayhi salam further states, "If a person states that he longs for a virtuous and pious progeny, which will serve the faith, which indeed is a great desire to have. However, this will merely be a claim unless he makes an effort to improve his own condition. One desires for a virtuous progeny, and yet their own condition is completely contrary to that. Many people come to me and request prayers for a virtuous progeny. Regarding their own prayers, their response is that we try to observe all the prayers. Those who do not even observe their obligatory prayers, what can be said of their own level of piety?" The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "If one lives a life of disobedience and falsehood, and yet claims to desire for a virtuous and pious offspring, then he stands a complete liar in his claim. Prior to desiring for a virtuous and pious progeny, it is necessary that he reforms himself and leads a righteous life. Only then will his desire come to fruition. It is only then that such a progeny will truly be worthy of being called baqiyat al-salihat, i.e. enduring good works. However, if this desire is only so that the legacy of one's name remains, and they leave behind heirs for their wealth and fortune, then regardless of how renowned and famous that person may be, according to me, it is shirk, i.e. idolatry." The Prophet Messiah alayhi salam then states, "Another thing is that people have a great longing to have a progeny, and they even have one as well, but never has it been observed that they strive and show concern for their progeny's moral training, and to make them pious and obedient to Allah the Almighty. They do not pray for them, and nor do they take into account the stages of their training and development. Little attention is paid towards prayers and also towards their moral training." The Promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, "My own condition is such that there is not a single prayer of mine in which I do not pray for my friends, children, and wife." The Promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, "There are many parents who teach bad habits to their children. When they learn to commit ill acts in their childhood, they do not admonish them. Consequently, they become more and more bold and brazen. If they are not stopped in their childhood and guided with love during their early years, then gradually they will increase in their ill actions. In another place, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "People desire for a progeny, but not so that they may serve the faith, but rather that they leave behind their heirs in this world. Once they do have children of their own, they show no concern for their moral training, and neither towards the reformation of their beliefs. It is also important to teach them about their faith. It should not be the case that they are completely occupied in pursuit of their secular education and worldly endeavors, and thus parents do not pay attention to teach them about their faith, and nor make arrangements for them to be taught. It is extremely important to teach them about their faith and their beliefs." The Promised Messiah further states, "Nor do they reform their moral condition. The standards of moral code perceived here are different to the ones the Allah the Almighty has taught in the Holy Quran, which are in fact of the highest standards. We should not only seek to acquire the standards of worldly morals, but in fact, we should also search for the standard of morals which Allah the Almighty has taught us, and which Islam teaches us, and have been demonstrated to us by the Holy Prophet ﷺ's own practice. These are the standards of morals which we then have to inculcate in our future progenies." The Promised Messiah ﷺ then states, "Remember that one who does not understand the significance of this relationship of his kinship cannot have a perfect faith. If he is bereft from its true comprehension, then how can one expect him to perform good deeds? Allah the Almighty states, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا," which means, "Our Lord, grant us of our wives and children the delight of our eyes, and make us a model for the righteous. This can only be possible when they do not lead a life of disobedience and falsehood. In fact, they lead a life like the servants of the gracious God. They give precedence to God over everything else." After this, God Almighty has then further elaborated by saying, "And make us a model for the righteous." If one's progeny is virtuous and righteous, then surely he must be their imam, i.e. the head. Therefore, this is a prayer for one to become a righteous person, i.e. one prays for himself to become righteous, and prays that Allah the Almighty makes him tread upon the path that leads to righteousness, and then includes the children in his prayer to also become righteous. The Promised Messiah then states, "One should not only look after the upbringing of their children out of mercy or for the purpose of leaving behind an heir. Rather, one should always be mindful of the clause of the Holy Quran and make us a model for the righteous, i.e. children should serve their faith." The Promised Messiah further adds, "However, how many people can say that they pray for their children to become champions of their faith? Only but a few would be able to concur. Many people are completely heedless as to the reason why they should make an effort for their children, and many only train them so they can become their heirs. Their only desire is for them to assist them or for them to prevent others from acquiring their wealth. Nevertheless, always remember that in such an instant, their religion will be destroyed. Therefore, with respect to children, one should always desire for their children to serve their faith. The parents of Waqfina know the scheme to devote children for the services of faith prior to birth. Children should ensure that they guide their children towards their faith." The Promised Messiah then further states, "I am a witness to the fact that people strive only in worldly pursuits. Their drive is the love of the world rather than the love of God. If one wishes to be bestowed children, they should supplicate with the intention mentioned in the clause of the Quran and make us a model for the righteous, and with the hope that the child being granted should become a means for elevating the name of Islam. When one has such a pious intention, then God Almighty has the power to grant offspring in the manner He granted Zechariah. However, I have seen that this insight of people does not extend beyond the fact that they think our children should become heirs to our land and possessions, lest another seizes it. However, Such an unfortunate one fails to comprehend the fact that when one dies, their friend, enemy or stranger becomes the one and the same. The Prophet Sallallahu continues by saying, I have seen many people who have said, pray for them to be granted offspring that can become heirs to their wealth, lest an outsider seizes it, i.e. they wish to be granted offspring, even if they become rogues, as if to say, this is the wisdom of the teachings of Islam that are left, heaven forbid. Amongst the Muslim community, this has become commonplace, and for this reason, special effort is made in order to obtain a male offspring. The men in turn give no share of the inheritance to their sisters. The parents leave no share of their wealth for their daughters and instead leave everything to their sons, which is contrary to the teachings of Islam. The men in return squander the wealth. This is what is taking place before us in the world and can be seen even today. Nevertheless, as I've already mentioned previously, the parents of Waqfin and all children should pay special attention towards the moral training of their children, and alongside this, they must pray for them to achieve this goal, i.e. for their children to grow up to serve the faith in a manner whereby they give precedence to faith over all worldly pursuits. It should not be the case that the children have simply been given the title of Waqfin all, and when they grow up, they say that they will pursue their own career. Rather, the Waqfininor should first confer with the Jamaat if the Jamaat is in need of their chosen career path or not. Only if the Jamaat grant them permission should they pursue that particular career. Otherwise, they should present themselves with the pure intention of fulfilling their pledge and the pledge made by their parents. Therefore, one should pray for their offspring and wish for them to be granted that progeny that will give precedence to their faith over all worldly objects. Also, that they become individuals who will go on to raise the honor of their parents and their family, who will elevate the name of their grandfather and forefathers. Then there are certain families whose fathers or grandfathers were companions of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. Yet, being from their progeny is not enough. Many people mention this fact with pride. Although this is an honor, yet one can only be proud when they begin to resonate those virtues. Simply being the children of the companions is not enough. Rather, it is the duty of the parents to pray for their children to be able to replicate the virtues of their grandparents and great-grandfathers. When the parents pray in this manner, they will have to ponder over their own state, because they will only be able to follow in the footsteps of their parents and grandparents if they follow those virtuous deeds themselves. Thus, alongside analyzing oneself, until their very limit, everyone should pray for their children to become righteous and develop a pure nature. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, the succor of God descends only upon those people who excel in virtuous deeds and do not remain at one station. These are the people who have a prosperous end. In order to want to receive a prosperous end, the Prophet Messiah stated, one should pray constantly for oneself as well as their wife and children. Then whilst advising us, the Prophet Messiah stated, perform those deeds which set the best and perfect example for your children. This is the responsibility of parents. The Prophet Messiah further elaborates by saying, that is why it is necessary to first reform oneself. If you become a righteous and temperate individual, and also strive to please God, then Allah the Almighty will always show benevolence with you and with your offspring. In the Holy Quran, the incident of Khidr and Prophet Moses alayhi salam recorded, where it is mentioned that together they constructed a wall belonging to a few orphaned children. Referring to this, God Almighty states, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا, that their father was a righteous man. The condition of the children themselves was not mentioned. Rather, the parents were mentioned. The Promised Messiah elaborates by saying, therefore, always strive to achieve this purpose. Always desire for your progeny to become pious. In return, God Almighty will grant you the means and provisions for progress. Thus, these are the fundamental principles towards which the promised Messiah alayhi salam advised us constantly. This, in fact, is an elaboration of the Quranic principles that the conduct of the mother and the father plays a big role in the upbringing of children. May Allah the Almighty grant every single one of us to become the best example for our children. May we fulfill the pledge of giving precedence to our faith over all worldly objects. Instead of looking towards others to see what their condition is, as is the habit of some people, we should focus on ourselves. Only then will we be able to leave a pious progeny for the future that will tread the path of righteousness. May we constantly pray for our children so that God Almighty makes them the delight of our eyes and enable this system to continue.
Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَدُّوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ